Welcome to the BritishBattles.com podcast on the Battle of Spion Kop, fought on 24th January 1900 in the Boer War. The iconic British defeat during Buller's second and disastrous attempt to cross the Tugela River and relieve Ladysmith. My name is John McKenzie. I am the editor of BritishBattles.com. I write the text for the entries in BritishBattles.com. I also select the illustrations and draft the maps under my nom de carte of John Fawkes. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site for the Battle of Spion Kop, where you will see a number of illustrations and my map of the battle. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and I invite you to send me your comments to info@BritishBattles.com. The Battle of Spion Kop was fought on the Tugela River in northern Natal in southern Africa between the British army of 20,000 men commanded by General Sir Redvers Buller and a Boer force of some 8,000 men under the leadership of General Botha. The Boer War was fought between the two independent Boer republics in southern Africa, the Transvaal and the Orange Free State, and Great Britain. The Boer Republics began the war in October 1899 in an attempt to assert their independence from the encircling and increasingly dictatorial British colonial authorities. In the months before the war, the Boer Commandant General, General Joubert, bought 30,000 Mauser magazine rifles firing smokeless ammunition and a number of modern field guns and automatic weapons from the German armament manufacturer Krupp, the French firm Creusot, and the British company Maxim. The Boer commandos, without formal discipline, welded into a fighting force through a strong sense of community and dislike for the British. Field cornets led burghers by personal influence, not through any military code. The Boers did not adopt military formation in battle, instinctively fighting from whatever cover there might be. Most Boers were countrymen, running their farms from the back of a pony with a rifle in one hand. These rural Boers brought a lifetime of marksmanship to the war, an important advantage further exploited by Joubert's consignment of smokeless magazine rifles. Viljoen is said to have coined the aphorism, "Through God and the Mauser." With strong fieldcraft skills and high mobility, the Boers were natural mounted infantry. The urban burghers and foreign volunteers readily adopted the fighting methods of the rest of the army. Other than in the regular uniformed Staats artillery and police units, the Boers wore their everyday civilian clothes on campaign. Having started the war with Britain, the Boers found themselves without an achievable war aim. The only strategy that might have had a chance of success would have been to invade and occupy the whole of Cape Colony, Natal, and the other neighbouring British colonies. The two Boer republics did not have the resources to carry out such an extensive operation. In any case, they could not have prevented a British sea landing to retake these areas. Once war was declared, the Boers invaded and occupied Natal as far as the Tugela River, but with Ladysmith holding out in their rear. The Orange Free State government was not prepared to allow its forces to advance further south in Natal. In Cape Colony, some of the citizens of Boer origins joined their brothers from the two republics, but most did not. The only other offensive operations the Boers carried out were to besiege Mafeking in the north and Kimberley further south on the Cape Colony to Rhodesia railway. Both sieges were unsuccessful. A limited incursion was carried out into the central area of Cape Colony up to the area around Stormberg. A major difficulty for the Boer armies was that, although competent in defence, digging field fortifications and using their magazine rifles to great effect to defend them, the Boers lacked an effective tactical offensive capability. In addition, The absence of formal military discipline made it difficult for the Boer commanders to devise strategies they could rely on their troops to carry through. As the British built up their armies and began to advance, defeat for the Boers became inevitable. The Boer armies suffered from a wide variation in competence and commitment. The general belief was that the Transvaalers were more resilient and determined fighters than the Free Staters. The younger Boer commanders tended to be more resourceful and aggressive, and felt handicapped by their older and more cautious seniors. The British infantry was armed with the Lee Metford magazine rifle, firing 10 rounds. But no training regime had been established to take advantage of the range, accuracy, and speed of fire of the weapon. Personal skills, such as scouting and fieldcraft, were little taught. The idea of fire and movement on the battlefield was largely unknown, many regiments still going into action in close order. Short of regular troops, Britain engaged volunteer forces from Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, who brought new ideas and more imaginative formations to the battlefield. The British artillery was a powerful force in the field, underused by commanders with little training in the use of modern guns in battle. The British order of battle at the Battle of Spion Kop is set out on the BritishBattles.com site for the battle. Of all the Boer War battles, Spion Kop retains an appalling notoriety for the incompetence of British leadership and the slaughter of the small number of men engaged on each side in the struggle for the top of the hill. The battle graphically showed the failure of the British Army to understand the requirements of modern warfare. Tactics to cope with powerful long-range artillery and magazine rifle fire. The need for proper communications and systems of reconnaissance. Maintenance of chains of command in action. And training and leadership at all levels. General Buller's defeat at Colenso on 15th December 1899 left him with the same strategic conundrum, how to relieve Ladysmith. Before he assumed the position of Commander-in-Chief in South Africa, Buller urged that the small British force in Natal must remain on the defensive behind the Tugela River in the face of a Boer invasion of the colony. General Penn Simmons ignored this advice and advanced to the northern tip of Natal, where he won the Battle of Talana Hill, dying in the process, a minor success that did little to stem the Boer invasion. General Sir George White, arriving in the colony with reinforcements, had not felt able to pull his troops back from Ladysmith behind the Tugela, although fundamentally he agreed with Buller, and found himself besieged in the town with most of the British troops in the colony. Similar actions in Mafeking and Kimberley left British garrisons besieged by forces of Boers in the northwest of South Africa. Instead of having a free hand to counter-invade the two Boer republics, the Orange Free State and the Transvaal, Buller was forced to attempt the relief of these three towns. In particular, it was inconceivable that White be left to surrender to the Boers with 10,000 British troops. General Botha, with his Boer Burger army, entrenched on the line of the Tugela River and awaited attack by Buller's Natal field force. At Colenso, Buller attempted an assault straight up the railway line to Ladysmith, hoping that White would mount a simultaneous attack from Ladysmith against the Boer rear. Colenso was a severe reverse for Buller, leaving unresolved the problem of crossing the Tugela River. White's losses in the Boer assaults on Wagon Hill and Caesar's Camp on 6th January 1900 caused him to signal to Buller that he was unable to make any further foray to assist the relief operation. Relieved of the obligation to attempt a joint operation with White, Buller planned his next attack further west on the Tugela to outflank the main Boer entrenched positions around the north-south railway line at Colenso. Substantial reinforcements arrived from Britain in Warren's 4th Division. Once they reached the main army, Buller moved to the west and began his assault across the Tugela. The point chosen for the attack lay opposite the Rangeworthy Hills, of which Spion Kop was one. Major General Littleton's brigade of rifle regiments initially crossed the river at Potgieter's Drift to the east of the main attack, at a point where the river, bending in a loop to the south, protected the crossing from enfilade fire. Lieutenant General Warren, with 13,000 men and 36 guns, had the task of crossing the river further west at Trickard's Drift and pushing up onto the Rangeworthy Hills, thereby diverting Boer attention so that Littleton could punch through to Ladysmith. Buller planned to follow Littleton's attack with a further force of 8,000 men and 22 guns. Warren's force set off for the Tugela on 15th January 1900, beginning the crossing of the river on 17th January. On 19th January, Warren was still bringing his column across the river and had not begun his attack, although his artillery opened an extensive bombardment along the Tabanyama Ridge, immediately opposite Trickard's Drift. In the meantime, Botha, realising the threat to his extreme right flank, brought Boer commandos and guns to the area, settling them into the threatened hills and opening fire on Warren's waiting troops. Losing patience with Warren's lack of urgency, on 23rd January 1900, Buller rode forward and ordered Warren to begin the attack on the Rangeworthy Hills. Warren's plan was to climb and capture the hill of Spion Kop, which he considered to be the key to the Rangeworthy position. With his troops established on Spion Kop, he would overlook the open ground leading to Ladysmith. The column assigned to take Spion Kop comprised a party of Thornycroft's Mounted Infantry, battalions from Woodgate's Lancastrian Brigade, and sappers of the Royal Engineers to dig the necessary entrenchments. The column made a night approach, finally setting off up the steep side of the hill and arriving at the top in the early morning of 24th January 1900. The hill was shrouded in mist. A small Boer picket fled, leaving Warren's men in possession of the summit, which the sappers began to entrench. It seemed to the British that the relief of Ladysmith was at hand. The Boer picket rushed to warn Botha, who directed the Boer guns in the area to fire on the summit of Spion Kop. A few hundred Boer burghers were persuaded to climb the hill and attempt to recapture it from the British. On Spion Kop, the mist prevented the British force from realising that the area they occupied did not include the summit, and that their position was overlooked by higher features. The infantry soldiers fell asleep after the strenuous climb, while the team of sappers dug trenches. The entrenched area extended to just an acre. The Boer bombardment began, and the Boers on the lip of the summit of the hill fired into the entrenched area, which the British troops were to find was too small and too shallow. Under the storm of artillery and rifle fire, the British troops in the trenches on the hilltop suffered heavily. General Woodgate was an early casualty, as were the commanding officers of the Royal Lancasters and the Royal Engineers, leaving the British troops without senior officers. Warren, in the meanwhile, ordered General Cooke to take reinforcements to the hilltop, Imperial Light Infantry, 2nd Dorsets and 2nd Middlesex. Hart and other senior officers urged Warren to attack Tabanyama. Instead, Warren signalled Littleton that a diversion was needed. On the Boer side, the fighting was just as desperate. Only volunteers could be persuaded to climb to the top of Spion Kop and the surrounding heights. The hillside was littered with Boer casualties, and many were killed on the summit. The sense of desperation was as great on the Boer side as on the British. On Buller's urgings, Warren put Thornycroft in command on the crest of Spion Kop. Some of the despairing and exhausted British troops attempted to surrender to the Boers. Thornycroft, on taking command, ordered the Boers back and shouted that there was to be no surrender. At the critical moment, Cook's reinforcements burst onto the hilltop, although Cook himself stayed beneath the crest and settled down for a nap, so it is reported. The most critical battle for the British Empire in many decades was left to a colonel to fight. At this point in the battle, Lyttelton launched his diversionary attack. The 2nd Scottish Rifles climbed Spion Kop to join Thornycroft's troops, while 1st Rifle Brigade attacked straight up the Twin Peaks to the east of Spion Kop. Schalkberger, commanding the Boers on the Twin Peaks, panicked at the assault on his position, and many of his burghers made for the rear, leaving the 60th to take the summit of the ridge. The roasting hot day came to a close, and Warren began to organise reliefs and supplies for the hard-pressed infantry on the summit of Spion Kop. Still under artillery fire, Thornycroft and his men were at the end of their tether. Warren had sent Thornycroft no orders of any sort during the day, other than his appointment in command, and he now sent no message to inform Thornycroft that substantial reinforcements were on their way. Not until 9 p.m. did the reliefs begin to climb the hill. On the Boer side, the effect of the battle had been just as devastating, and the diversionary attack by the 60th Rifles had been the last straw. The Boers had left the summit of Spion Kop. Thornycroft did not realise it, but he had won the battle. Instead of moving forward after the retreating enemy, Thornycroft resolved to withdraw off the hill with the confused and demoralised remnants of the Lancashire Battalions, Middlesex, Scottish Rifles, and his own Imperial Light Infantry. The reinforcements began to arrive, and a vigorous dispute developed, a newly arrived commanding officer insisting that the hill must be held. Thornycroft was adamant. He was in command, and he was taking his troops down from the hellish hilltop, which they could no longer hold. At dawn the next day, the Boer leaders saw that their men had reoccupied Spion Kop. The battle had been won. Warren's force trailed back across the Tugela. The second attempt to force through to Ladysmith had failed disastrously. In the Battle of Spion Kop, the British suffered 1,500 casualties, 243 of them dead in the trench on the peak of Spion Kop. The Boers suffered 335 casualties. News of Spion Kop caused consternation in Britain and nearly brought down the government. The cabinet was at a loss to work out what could have gone wrong. The decision was made to send out Lord Roberts and Lord Kitchener to take over as Commander-in-Chief and Chief of Staff in South Africa. Spion Kop drove the final nail into the coffin of Buller's reputation. With the end of the war, Buller was dismissed from the army. A terrible end to a worthy life of service to the British Crown, in spite of his failings. Buller's incompetence as a general was fully demonstrated at Spion Kop. In spite of his overwhelming strength, he allowed the battle to be decided by a few hundred men fighting in what came to be called the Murderous Acre, on the top of a hill beyond any proper command control. In spite of his reservations as to Warren's conduct of the battle, Buller failed to intervene. Curiously, Spion Kop was something of a disaster for the Boers. Many of the Boers assumed that, as after Majuba in the First Boer War, the British would sue for peace and leave them their independence. Numbers of burghers, including Botha, considering the war as good as won, went home, leaving insufficient men to resist Buller's next and decisive attacks at Valcrantz and Peter's Hill. Dennis Reitz, author of Commando, was one of the Boer volunteers who climbed onto Spion Kop and fought through the day, finally despairing of success and pulling back. It is an irony that in 1918, Rietz commanded 1st Royal Scots Fusiliers in France. Spion Kop is not a British battle honour. All the regiments that fought in South Africa received the battle honour South Africa with the dates of presence in the country. Mahatma Gandhi was present at Spion Kop with his team of Indian stretcher bearers. Spion Kop, or The Kop, is the name given to Liverpool Football Club's ground at Anfield. The name was given to a number of football stands during the 20th century, of which the Liverpool stand is the best known. Most of the others have been demolished. It is said the steep seating resembled the hill in Natal, famous for the battle. It was particularly appropriate for the Liverpool ground to be named after the battle, at which the principal British formation was Woodgate's Lancastrian Brigade. That is the end of this podcast on the Battle of Spion Kop. I hope you have enjoyed it, and thank you for listening. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site on the battle, where you will find pictures of the battle and images of the regiments that took part with a map of the battle. Finally, I would invite you to look at the list of BritishBattles.com podcasts on www.britishbattles.com/BritishBattles-com-podcasts.